Hello and welcome to Tech Plus, our weekly roundup of the week's biggest tech stories with myself, Ion, and freshly back from Dubai. You almost didn't come back. It's Kane.
Almost got washed away.
Jeez, Kane. Now, listen, this was so interesting, and I've been wanting to talk to you for so long about this. 2 weeks ago or so, Dubai had a year and a half's rain in 24 hours.
Yes.
And it seriously disrupted the airport and all that kind of stuff. You were kind of stuck there, hey? What happened? Where were you at that stage?
I arrived in Dubai on the, I think it was the 15th of April, no, or earlier. It was the 12th of April was the day I arrived, I believe. And I think the flood started on the 13th or the 14th. And I really wasn't expecting, I mean, you know, nobody tells you when you go to the desert, you're going to be met with rain and flooding and,
exactly, yeah.
And water. So I arrived in Dubai, and you know, the really interesting thing that I thought to myself, and this is like a bittersweet, funny kind of story, is I was driving from the airport to my accommodation in Dubai, and I thought to myself, you know, you're on this like six-lane highway. It's like a highway, there's six lanes, just going one direction, and then like another six lanes going another direction, and some of the biggest roads, and other ones, they're relatively small. But I always thought, you know what it looks like? On the right-hand side and the left-hand side, it looks like you're about to arrive at Buffalo Bay. It seems like there's like sand and like a bit of fynbos on the right and a sand and a bit of fynbos on the left. It literally feels like you're driving past a beach.
Wow.
It doesn't really feel like a desert. You would think a desert has a different kind of feel, but it literally felt like that. And I thought to myself, it's very strange that there's no sand on the road.
Yeah.
Also, there's no sand in the malls. There's no sand in the cars.
But how do they do that, man?
Well, I think the highway keeps the sand off. It's like self-cleaning because the cars are going up and down the highway. But after the floods, there was only sand. There was sand on the roads, sand in the buildings.
So were you actually in a situation where you were like knee deep in the water or not?
Yes. So it was actually a very funny story because we were, you know, it was business as usual. We arrived, we had some things we needed to do, and some of the locals said to us, you know, watch out for tomorrow. And he's like, well, what do you mean watch out for tomorrow? They said there's going to be flooding.
Whoa.
It's like, how do you know there's going to be flooding? And they said, no, they're going to do cloud seeding this afternoon.
Oh.
So they're seeding the clouds to make it rain. And I was already like, wait, that's a thing? Like you and I had like many more questions.
I thought there was a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, I had many questions after the fact. And we had seen some jets in the sky, so we had asked a couple of questions, you know, well, how do you cloud seed? Well, they fly and they put like iron filings and a whole chemistry related batch of stuff into the clouds, into ready formed clouds, which makes a potential precipitation increased by 30%.
Wow.
That's the definition of cloud seeding. And people have used it before. America used it in a war, I think, to stave off people, you know, coming in. And like, it's been used for like many, many years. So anyway, I was already just trying to understand this thing that cloud seeding is actually something that happens. And I must say there was some suspicious activity that evening. It was just kind of, it felt odd. The weather was odd.
Mm.
First thing I asked him was, why are you cloud seeding?
Yeah, why?
And he said, to fill the aquifers. Because it's easier to cloud seed and make it rain and fill the aquifers than it is to bring salty water in and desalinate it. It's a cheaper process to cloud seed and fill the aquifers than it is to bring in large volumes of water that is salty and try and desalinate it. So, I mean, that was enough for me. You know, I was like, okay, wow, I'm like really in a futuristic place here. I wasn't expecting that. And that evening, you could see that the clouds were, it was just like this strange, I don't, you know, I can't say that I've seen a lot of clouds in Dubai because it's hot as hell, but the clouds seemed like they were a little bit, like it was like a smog to it. It felt like it was like a brownish kind of cloud, and the weirdest thing was there was like a powder that was forming on the cars that evening.
Oh my word.
It was like it felt akin to like if salt water were to coat something and dry salt remained, and it was like this white powder that was, and it didn't feel like it was something that was being sprayed into the air and landing on the cars. It felt like it was something that was actually forming in the air and falling upon the clouds. I mean, falling upon the cars. And that was like the first sign that I was like, okay, this is a bit odd. There was, obviously, it's very, like, it's not humid in Dubai. It's just hot. It's aridy hot. And
yeah, that's like horrible.
Blanket
I can't
hot.
Stand it.
Oh, I really became quite enjoying, I started to enjoy it a lot. It
that
was really
humidity
nice.
Is the death of me. I can't.
So I think some foresight is that during the day, it's about, and at least when I was there, it was about 35 during the day.
No.
And when I arrived at about 1 a.m. in the morning, it was 32.
No.
So it doesn't go from 32 to 42. It goes from 35 to 40 or from 30 to 35. That's the night-day difference. So at the night, it's like 32, and in the day, it'll be like 35 or 36.
Well, I'll never go there. I mean, I'll never move there. Maybe I'll visit, but that's it.
You would think it's very hot, but in summer, in the heat of summer, they use 70% of the power that they use is used on air conditioning.
I'm sure.
But they air condition entire malls. They air condition entire buildings.
It's essential for survival.
It is. But the locals manage the heat pretty fine. You know, yeah, you'll see them walking.
You get used to it.
We see them walking through the streets fully geared in a suit. And they're like totally fine. Anyway, back to the storm. So I'd obviously been quite excited to experience cloud seeded rain. And this was my assumption because, I mean, locals are telling me they're cloud seeding. The clouds are looking pretty strange. There's powder on the cars. Mm. Like, I'm like sucked in. I'm like, okay, this is Dubai rain, right? When it rained, it wasn't like normal rain. It was so weird. It was as if you know when you stand underneath, you walk into a house and it's raining, or you walk out of a house, or you walk under a gutter or something, and those big drops hit you on your back.
Yes,
that's the rain. It's wide apart and it's heavy. It's not like it's not densely packed together. It's heavy droplets, sparsed apart, and it rained on and off. Like it rained for an hour, stopped raining. Rained for an hour, stopped raining. Rained for an hour, stopped raining, and it did that the whole night. And then the next day, it did that basically the whole day. And by the end of that day, it started clearing up. But there was a lot of water. Apparently, something like 1 year's worth of rainfall single day. But the thing you notice is Dubai doesn't have gutters in the street. It doesn't have, like...
They're not used to all that water.
They don't have drainage.
Yeah. Oh, my word. No wonder it flooded.
They don't have drainage. It's like...
But listen, did this whole cloud seeding thing go wrong? Or why did it rain so much?
So, I have some theories. The first thing that I've kind of realized was, okay, there's no drainage. That's why it's flooding. And even locals told us the reason that it floods and the water runs through the street is because it doesn't have drainage.
Mm.
And you even see people, like, sweeping water. This is, like, the thing. This is how they deal with water in Dubai. They sweep it.
I saw that.
So,
as if it's going to make a difference.
So on the first day, the first thing you realize is everything shuts down. That's the craziest thing. Like there's nothing at all running. There's no shops open.
Wow.
There's no Uber drivers. Huh. There's no delivery drivers. There's restaurants and stuff, but you have to get to them. But everything is shut down. Like you go through Uber Eats and Kareem, which is the Uber Eats of Dubai, and Deliveroo, and you go through that and it's nothing. There's just nothing you can order. So obviously by midday, we're getting pretty hungry. Like, we're like, we need to eat. Like, we need to live. So we decide to go out on an adventure and go find some food. And there's a place we can eat, you know, a 15, 20-minute walk. So we start walking. And about 5 minutes into the walk, we look deep into the distance. And you just check a cloud. This was the first time I saw a cloud, a proper cloud, that was forming this rainfall in Dubai. And it was, like, so dark gray that it was almost black.
Mm. And I saw that footage, actually, video of it. It looked very scary.
We were looking at it way away, and we thought, oh, we're fine. Because, as I said, it rains for a bit, and then it doesn't rain. So we were in that patch of it wasn't raining, and there was this cloud way in the distance. So we're, like, trying to make foot to the food place. About 75% of the way there, that cloud had reached us.
Yo.
And when I tell you, I wasn't expecting this. The first sign was the wind had picked up so much that I was being blown off of the road. So I thought, sure.
Were you standing or on a bike?
We were running for our life. We were running.
Was there any lightning?
Well, this is it. So, yes, there was definitely lightning. There was definitely thunder.
Very
it was like
close.
A Joburg thunderstorm.
Wow.
So, and it had come from that black cloud, just absolutely traveling at a massive speed towards us. Anyway, we decide the only thing we can do is go into the nearest hotel.
Mm.
We didn't know what hotel it was. We didn't know if we were allowed in there. But what we did know was it was starting to rain hard and it was blowing heavy wind.
Sure.
So we make way into the hotel. And eventually the rain was going sideways.
Wow.
That's how heavy the wind was.
That's how active the wind was.
It was like a hurricane. I was like, what is this? Like, where did I sign up for this?
What a time to pick to go to Dubai.
Yeah, in my shorts and my short sleeve because I didn't bring warm clothes. And there was literally like a hurricane. There was literally like umbrellas flying past and five guys were sitting at the entrance of the hotel with brooms just sweeping the water away. That's how they dealt with the water. So anyway, all this happens. And that night, it's clear skies. And for the next 2-3 days, it's absolute clear skies. There's not a single drop of rain.
So really, it's not a natural occurrence. There's definitely some interference there, human interference.
It was in and out in under 12 hours. I mean, under like 18 hours.
So you reckon it was human interference?
Well, I can't say for sure because this is where it gets a bit weird, right? So the funniest part about it was on day 2 and day 3, there was basically no more rain. But you would hear on the radio, people were like, be safe, stay indoors, don't go out. It felt like the Nisner fires. I was like, guys, it's flipping water. The only water's on the ground. There's no more coming from the sky. And you're like, look, you know, hide your kids and look after yourselves out there. Don't go venture out. Stay at home. Stay. And you're like, it's just water. And there was guys going down the alleyways on mattresses, oh, wow, mattress boats.
Oh, that's cool. Know,
kind of just having a good time with it. And then here comes the announcements, and the world basically says, no, this wasn't cloud seeding. So yeah, the narrative around and about is that, no, it wasn't cloud seeding. Cloud seeding didn't do it. That's not how cloud seeding works. And, I mean, locals told me this is going to happen.
The locals knew about
it. You go onto the weather app. I have a screenshot of it. That night, before it started raining, I go onto weather 24, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's 100% precipitation for 12 hours. When have you ever? I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Where it's 100% every hour on the hour precipitation.
Yeah. Not for like, so long, yeah.
And I was
so
like,
it's not
weird.
It's definitely not a natural occurrence. Whether it's cloud seeding, we can't say, but that's what the locals believe, at least.
Well, the locals said it was happening. The they turned around and said it wasn't happening. There have been videos that I've seen floating around on TikTok disproving that cloud seeding could have been, because they say whatever you cloud seed, the rain begins within 30 minutes. That has some validity to it, I think. I definitely wouldn't argue that. And also, you don't just spray cloud seeding formula into a blue sky and it rains. It has to be, there has to be clouds there. There has to be something there already. And you're just improving the amount of precipitation by 30%. So whether it was like a cloud seeding effort that caused precipitation that they didn't expect, I think that could be a reason. But also temperature has to do with how much water can be held in the air. So when it rains, what's actually happening is the temperature's cooling down, and this is a very simplified example, but the temperature's cooling down, the amount of space for water to be in the air as a gas is reduced. So there's too much water in the air to allow for that much water to be able to be in the air. So clouds form and it rains. That's precipitation.
Yeah.
So what I suspect is maybe they did cloud seed. Maybe they cloud seeded a cloud they didn't need to cloud seed, and it did increase precipitation by 30%. But because of the storm, I think it tanked the temperature down from 30 to 25. Right? If it goes from 35 to 25, you reduce the amount of space in the air for water, and it leads to more rain, leads to more downfall. So that's theory number one. It was like an over-calculation thing. Theory number two is it's just weird coincidence. People thought they were cloud seeding, but they weren't. And it doesn't really explain why there was powder everywhere. Like, that's still
that
something.
Powder that thing is a bit strange.
That I couldn't really get. And also, the way that the clouds looked was a bit strange. But I went to the Dubai Museum of the Future. And the first thing you notice is that the landscape is far more Mediterranean than desert. When they're talking about Dubai in the future, they have canals. They have, like, they have a much more water or much more higher aqua level of environment. So maybe, just maybe, it was something that they did on purpose, because there's only one way that you get from a dry climate to a wet climate, and that's to create a lot of rainfall and create a lot of water. And I don't know if that's their goal, but whether it is an overcalculation or exactly calculated or just random happenstance, I went to Dubai and it flooded.
But you made it.
Wild experience.
But you made it because that airport was closed for so long. And even this week, when was it? Yesterday in the news, there was a story that Emirates cancelled all its flights in Dubai due to more heavy rains. Not really flooding, but heavy rains again.
You go look online, and there, I mean, runways were full of water. When we walked to where we were going to eat, there was a graveyard of cars. Because the minute the water level goes above the exhaust, the car is done. It's over.
Yeah.
So the minute that happened, whether your car was parked in a place or whether you were driving somewhere or whether you tried to get across a patch of water and it was way deeper than you expected. Also, Dubai is a basin. So certain parts of Dubai were lower down than others. So the people that were higher up were fine. But the people that were lower down, that's where all the water went.
Yeah,
and they got it bad. And that's where the Dubai airport is.
Okay.
So the Dubai airport had a lot of water.
Wow, what an experience, Kane. But listen, maybe it was just also like a sign of how crazy the weather is at the moment. Because this week also in the news, powerful storms roared across parts of southern Oklahoma, obviously in the United States, producing some dangerous and very unusual tornadoes. One was a very rare type. Multiple tornadoes were ongoing simultaneously, and at least two of the tornadoes exhibited very odd behavior. One powerful tornado looped backward and recrossed its previous path. And another significant tornado spun in the wrong direction.
That's so what?
So what is happening here? It's a wacky world.
It's like a lightning strike twice scenario.
Yeah, wacky weather. Even here recently we had, I don't know if you were back, the other night we had a bloody huge hailstorm here with lightning and
that
stuff.
That was the day I got back.
That was very... It was you. You brought it back. Yeah.
I was like, what is going on?
That was you.
I arrived back and it's hail the size of golf balls falling out of the sky.
It was a huge racket. I actually heard glass breaking while it was falling.
That's funny because we were out for a braai and one of our mates like ran to go, you know, grab some of the meat or whatever. And then I just hear like, ow, ow, ow. And I was like, what a little baby, ow, 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 you know, crying because of the rain. No, and then I saw the hail. Whoa!
They were solid, eh? But you see, the weather is getting very strange. Believe what you want to believe, but the weather is, it's a fact. The weather is getting very strange all across the world.
It is.
And it's no longer in patterns. I mean, look at yesterday, Friday, 36 degrees Celsius on the 3rd of May in this area where it's supposed to be winter now.
It was hot today. That was the first time I was like, hey, this is like a bit
you
like
see,
Dubai weather.
Weird stuff happening.
In but winter of all times.
It's winter, exactly. Listen, that was fantastic catching up with you, Kane. Kane's adventures. And then when we come back, we'll actually talk about some technology. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Tech Plus, where we discuss the week's biggest tech stories. We are so pleased to see Kane back with us. Kane, what have you got for us this week? Was it a good week for tech?
Yes. So parting from Dubai and talking about tech, a perfect middle ground is something that I thought was absolutely insane when I went to Dubai, and that's the Burj Khalifa, which is,
oh yes,
you know, the tallest building in the world. But no one told me that it's also the biggest TV in the world.
What?
That thing can display imagery like a TV.
Whoa.
The entire building from the top.
I didn't even know.
To the bottom. And, you know, the fountains come on every now and again and they have some animations going and it's pretty cool, but it's like a fifth of what they actually can do. So sometimes if you stick around long enough, and we were at a restaurant called Gull, and it has a view of the Burj Khalifa, and that thing is literally, I did some math. Because I was like, it's like a TV.
Mm.
It's like a TV. You have hip-hop, like, graffiti on it. Whoa. And you have, like, classical music graffiti on it. I have some videos of it. It's a hell of a thing to look at, you know. Especially living here in Nasna. You look around. There's nothing that tall.
We don't have skyscrapers.
No. So something of that sheer height. And
it goes on forever.
And it's displaying LED, like TV level.
And the quality is very good, eh?
And I did some math. It is 32,000 inches tall. So it is a 32,000 inch TV.
How would you even start constructing it?
After you've constructed it, you've attached all the lights. I have two questions. One, how do you program it? And two, how do you stop people from inside seeing outside? And what you notice is they've actually lined up all the lights around people's houses. So you actually wouldn't, if you were in there, you wouldn't see you wouldn't see those lights going off. But you should look at a video or two, because
amazing,
it is it's incredible.
Wow.
And then like everything about Dubai is like that. It's just completely crazy level stuff. Talking about crazy level stuff, when I came back from Dubai, our airline didn't have any Wi-Fi.
Why not?
Why no Wi-Fi? You know? And the internet was just down. Like, it was actually pretty frustrating because you don't really think about it when you're on a plane. But to be away, if you work or you run a company like I do, then, you know, being away from your phone for 8 hours during the workday,
that's not good,
is quite a challenge.
I think you're dead.
I was thinking, what are people thinking?
His plane went down.
On the way here, I was chatting. On the way back, I was silent. So I didn't know what people were like, he's just sleeping. But apparently, big South African airline is considering new in-flight Wi-Fi services, which is including Starlink. And I think this is probably one of the most impressive technologies that we have. The fact that you can get in an airplane and you can fly hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles, and especially if you're traveling internationally over the ocean, and you can stay connected to the internet to chat with your friends on WhatsApp. I wonder what people 60 years ago would think of the idea that you can speak to people while in an airplane crossing the ocean.
Because it was just not possible back then.
It was just not possible.
Like, people wouldn't talk to you for, depending on how long your flight is, 8 hours, 10 hours.
And of all the places that are like adopting this new technology for domestic flights, because you would fly domestically in South Africa, you're not going to have Wi-Fi on your plane. At least not that I've quickly found. But Fly Safair is reviewing newer internet technologies for airplanes, including Starlink, to potentially provide onboard Wi-Fi in its domestic flights. So Fly Safair told MyBroadband that it was because the conventional connectivity technology for these services were not attractive to implement, as they required equipment that was too expensive and the service quality was spotty. It's just, yeah, there is definitely some intermittency. But shout out to Starlink, who've created a mesh around the earth that can basically carry a network connection, whether you're in a plane or you're on the ground, and keep you connected. I just can't wait to see if we're ever going to be able to do things like do low latency networking on a plane. You know, be able to play games with your friends while you're on a plane, for example. And South African airline considering Starlink services is a bit of a catch-22 here, because Starlink is so heavily banned right now in South Africa that even for Starlink roaming is being shut down in South Africa. Remember, we spoke about people still getting Starlink internet, but they were buying like it from Nigeria or from Namibia or from Malawi or from Ghana, and then they were importing it into South Africa, and the package they were taking was a roaming package. Well, now, despite warnings that their connections would go dark from 30 April, numerous Starlink roaming users in South Africa still have access to the company's roaming service. So apparently Starlink was going to cut the connection for anyone that even bypassed it and had roaming services. And that's quite big, because there were local businesses in South Africa that provided those services to local people. It's not like iKane went and called Nigeria Starlink and said, hey, send me some. I went to a South African business, and the South African business said, we can get you connected, and I pay them every single month and I get Starlink internet. So Starlink's going to be cutting those connections apparently from 30 April, but a lot of customers have still reported that they still have that connection. And I really disagree with this one. I really disagree with the fact that we're trying to shut down a service that can connect anyone anywhere. Because even, I don't remember if you remember, but the South African government actually made a promise that that they would provide up to 10 gigabytes for free per month to local South Africans. And I've yet to see that, to be honest with you. I've yet to see that come into fruition. And something like Starlink would enable not just people to be connected to the internet, but it would also enable people to connect themselves to the internet in really remote places and then offer that service to other people as a service, basically offering a service as a service. And that's, you know, that's exactly what not necessarily South Africa needs, but what Africa needs, to connect to the internet and be able to access the services of the internet, like AI, for example. AI can change some people's lives. People who don't have money to access legal counsel, for example, can access AI-related services so that they could at least get some insight into what is and what isn't legal, or close to a bit of insight as to what is or what isn't legal. You have services that people could use, like businesses could use AI to create media and marketing material that they would use to attract customers to their already existing business. So I'd love to see some more focus going to, you know, connecting than unconnected and working with businesses that make that possible. To not allow Starlink in South Africa, but at the same time not provide a similar or better alternative. It's kind of stupid because you got people who aren't connected to the internet who need to get connected to the internet. Plus, an internet connection in a remote region is almost essential.
Yeah.
I mean, for a country that has, you know, something as bad as all the farmer stuff that was happening, having secure network connection in remote regions probably would be quite a wise move. But because of the law that South Africa has that, and it's not a bad law, it's a pretty good law actually, that services rendered in South Africa have to be done by a company that's owned by 30% recently or previously disadvantaged individuals, which is actually, you want to back that, but at the same time, you also want to ensure that the services are available. So you're stuck in a catch-22 where someone like Elon Musk is not going to adhere to that just to access South Africa, and South Africa is not just going to let that pass to provide that service, but we need that service regardless. So I'd love to see what happens there, but it all starts with someone like FlySafair using Starlink services commercially to provide access to internet for domestic flights. And then maybe, just maybe, we can see a consumer level solution similarly whereby we can do it as well. Because it would be pretty crazy if FlySafair can do it, but your average everyday Joe on a farm cannot. You know? So I'd love to see what happens there. And then another thing is that Vodacom's negotiations with the Please Call Me Man. Who remembers that? I remember
still,
that.
Is it still happening? It's still ongoing.
Well, here's the thing. It's now gone from something that was happening in the public eye to something that is strictly confidential.
Oh, so I guess they've gone private now. Like, no more courts. Let's settle it in the boardroom. That kind of thing.
So the Vodacom Please Call Me Idea Man, Kenneth Nkosane, and Vodacom have declined to even comment on whether they have met to discuss a settlement on the 16-year legal fight. Spokespeople for both parties said there is a strict confidentiality agreement binding them, and Vodacom said that it is not possible to provide any comment on the negotiations between the two parties. That's what Vodacom said to My Broadband. This comes after the legal representatives at Stemmela & Lube Inc. said in February that they would return to negotiating table with Vodacom. And they also went on to say that it is noteworthy that this is the first time since the negotiations ended in a deadlock in December 2017 that Vodacom has given any indication that it wants this matter to be settled. I just don't like that it just goes dark. That's weird. Don't you think that's strange?
Yeah, very suddenly. Obviously, lawyers' orders, you know, saying...
Well, they don't want... Yeah, I think Vodacom creates a vulnerability for themselves if they are known to be the people that settled with someone. But he's been fighting for 16 years, and I'm entitled to believe that he is owed money. I mean, this legal battle started like 5 years after they... two, 3 years after they created the Please Call Me. And then they continued to use the Please Call Me service for like another 10, 13 years... And now he's like, hey, I want a billion with a B, you know, and many of them. And rightly so. I think Vodacom's best mood would have been to be like, okay, well, there's clearly some conflict here. Let's not utilize this service, or let's not render the service in this man's ideas fashion, and let's adapt it. But they didn't. And they continued to use it for 10 more years. So I kind of feel like they deserve to pay out whatever is
but the
owed
legal
him.
Fees, man, how much is that already? I mean, whatever he's gonna get back, he's gonna have to pay his lawyers and all those people in legal fees. And also, why didn't you settle it privately in the first place? Why did it have to go public?
Because I think someone like Vodacom is so big and so wealthy that they can't just say, we don't care, you know, we're just going to do what we want to do. And they did. They did exactly what they wanted to
do.
Well,
now they got to care, and it's going to cost them a lot.
But we will never know, because it's a strictly confidential agreement. And you know what's crazy is if that guy does break that confidentiality agreement, it's gonna clause all agreement. Whatever agreement they have in place, whatever money is getting. So all I'm saying is, dude, if you're listening, I hope you're getting your money's worth, bro. I hope so. And I hope that the confidentiality agreement has an expiry date so you can let us know what the heck happened.
And I'm really curious about the legal fees. Who's going to pay all that legal fees?
That man's taking
loans. That must be millions by now, hey? No, honestly, that must be millions by now, really.
That's like at least 10, 15 million.
Will whatever's left be worth it for you? That's what I want to know.
It's like, imagine you're 30 years old and you have someone walk into your office that has this Vodacom please call me case. And by the time you're 36... you're starting to get to the point where you might just get paid. Damn. That's a long time, man.
That's a very long time.
46. So if you're 30, you'd be 46. You'd be almost 50.
No.
After starting that legal battle. If you were 20, you'd be 36.
And then you'd be grey already from all the stress as well.
you'd be 46 going on 76.
You'd be white, eh, from all the stress.
Before we go to the music break, did you know that there are currently 100,000 smart IDs sitting at Home Affairs offices in South Africa waiting for collection?
Is been delayed.
100,000, bro. 100,000. That's a lot of IDs, bro.
Yes.
I don't know what we're gonna do there.
Is the machine's broken?
But you see, that must mean it was working because they'd arrived there. They're sitting there, which means are like people not collecting it. Is it too much of a mission? Have they been lost?
No, I don't know.
I don't know. Yo, 100,000.
Haibo.
Man, oh man. And we have music break.
Let's go for some music. Welcome back to Tech Plus. Kane, did you hear about this iPhone alarm clock issue?
No.
Was in the news this week. Apparently something is happening with some iPhones, not all of them. And whatever, the problem is you set your alarm for, say, 6 a.m., and then 6 a.m. comes, nothing.
Nothing.
Done. It actually goes off, but you can't hear anything. There's no sound. Even though you set the sound and your sound is on and all that stuff is right, there's no sound. So, like, I think the display lights up, but there you are, sleeping.
Eyes closed, can't see the display.
And a lot of people... we're late for work because of this, you know.
Imagine saying that as your excuse. My Apple stopped working.
But I mean, how reliant are we on, because, you know, usually like in the older days or even in the 90s, early 2000s, you would have like an alarm clock next to your bed or some form of clock. And, you know, that would go off in the morning and you would wake up. Now it's almost 100% phones, you know. Our phones wake us up in the morning. Would you be affected by this if this had to happen? If you had an iPhone and your phone didn't go off in the morning, how reliant are you on your phone to wake you up?
You know what's funny? I recently got an iPhone 15 when I went to Dubai.
Oh my gosh. Do you have an iPhone here?
Yeah.
That's an What? You got an iPhone? Where's the Samsung?
It's back home, but I'm going to tell you a story now. So I set some alarms and they didn't go off. And now's the first time I'm hearing about this, and I'm wondering if they correlate.
Definitely.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I was like, why are these alarms
going
off?
Actually affected by it. I never thought.
So I don't know if it's still going, but
I didn't expect you to have an iPhone.
The other day I heard the iPhone alarm go off, and it wasn't. I mean, I know you can change the alarm, but it was a very gentle alarm. Put it that way. Yeah. I kind of need a little bit of positive reassurance. Bit of a wake up, right now. This is one thing, you can get up if you like, you know, or you can go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep a little bit.
Contains profanity, but it's a brilliant one that I want to set up. It's like really encouraging you to get up and seize the day. But yes, a lot of people, they didn't wake up. They slept in, and I think they got into trouble. But now, obviously, the bosses know, and, you know, people...
Because the boss came in late because he's got an iPhone too. Whole company are up late.
It serves you well for having your bloody iPhone. Samsung is much more reliable, by the way.
So here's the thing with the iPhone that I noticed, right? I got this iPhone 15 in it, and I was really excited for it. Now, I know that there were a lot of bad remarks about the iPhone 15. So I should have realized what I was getting myself into.
But at least you got a heater now for the winter.
So luckily, I mean, there was actually one occasion where it was getting quite hot, but I wouldn't really say it's
phones get hot sometimes anyway.
I was like sitting in the sun or something on a phone call and it was
now that's normal.
But this thing's battery, bro, I don't know what's going on, But I made a joke because I had a friend of mine, and he's from New Zealand, and well, he's actually a colleague, and we were in a call, and he had said he bought the iPhone 15 and it had some problems, but he never took it back. He kind of just got on with it. So I thought to myself, the one day I just got fed up because my phone battery was low again. And it happened, this happens quite a lot, it's low right now. So I thought, okay, let me just voice my concerns to him. I was like, bro, do you have a problem with your battery life? So I take a screenshot of my phone, which showed me that over the last, you know, 24 hours, it'll show you your battery and what's happened over the last 24 hours and what phones and what apps use the most battery. And it's very informative. And I noticed that halfway through the day, it dropped below 50% charge. And towards the evening, it was below 50% charge again. So at midday, I charged it full. And at the evening, I charged it full. That's two full charge, well, two 50 to 100% charges throughout the day.
Yeah.
And I had seen that, and I'm on the phone a lot. So I saw, okay, my screen time was 8 hours out of that 24. So out of the 24 hours, 8 hours was spent with the phone screen on.
Wow.
And that was about 6 hours on WhatsApp and 2 hours on Discord and a few other things. So I was like, sent the screenshot. I'm like, look at this. Look how annoying this is. How could my battery be dying? He sends me a screenshot of his. He's got 30 minutes of screen time on like what? On Duolingo. The rest of his phone was off. But his is halfway at midday and halfway at the evening. So I've got 10 hours worth of screen time. Oh, I've got 8 hours worth of screen time, six of which is WhatsApp, two of which is Discord, and he's got 34 minutes of screen time, but we both have the same battery drainage. So I was like, you should actually be more angry with your phone than me. I'm like, you haven't even used the thing, and it's already at halfway.
So maybe it's probably something in the background draining it all.
I don't know.
Maybe just
what
a bad battery.
But it's like there's something that's a bit odd, you know. His phone is six weeks old, but that's what I noticed. It was like, regardless of how much, and I have the two screenshots next to each other, and I'll share it on my socials and whatever, but whether you're using 10 hours or whether you're using 30 minutes, apparently there's the same drainage. So
that's,
I don't know, that
fair.
Was just my experience, but I was like immediately like, okay, I feel fine now. You, my friend, should
you
get
have
your
a problem,
stuff checked.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 30 minutes. That's a big problem. Yeah.
Yo, but listen, that's not good, eh? Especially for somebody who's on the phone a lot.
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating because my Samsung's 3 years old and it lasts easily the whole day.
Are you still using your Samsung?
Yeah, because I used two phones while I was in Dubai.
Oh, okay.
And
nice.
One to keep my South African stuff going and one to keep
my Dubai. So, conclusion, Samsung is better.
Well, I wouldn't say it's better, but it's most certainly better than the iPhone 15 in my experience so far.
Yeah.
Speaking of experiences, do you know what the Rabbit R1 is?
No.
So the Rabbit R1 is a cool little new device. Now, you know what the Meta Ray-Bans are, because we've spoken about it before.
Yes,
so that's
definitely.
That's Meta's Ray-Ban partnership pair of sunglasses that have cameras and mics in it, as well as music. That you can play out of it, voice commands, and some AI features. The Rabbit R1 is also an AI device, but it's exclusively an AI device, and it's not from Meta, or it's not from Ray-Ban, but it's a device that you wear on you that has AI that's supposed to do some things for you. So the first thing it does is it's like an artificial personal assistant device developed by a tech startup called Rabbit Inc. and designed by another engineering company called Teenage Engineering. The Rabbit R1 can answer questions, so you can say, hey, what's the weather? Where do I go? How do I find this? What is this? What does this mean? You can call an Uber or DoorDash, which is essentially like Uber Eats. You can play music on Spotify. You can translate speech. You can generate images on Midjourney, so you can ask it to make your imagery. And it can also identify nearby objects with its camera and record voice memos. So now OpenAI is actually a technology that the Rabbit R1 uses in order to provide these services to an individual. So an OpenAI outage, or a ChatGPT outage that broke push-to-talk requests on all Rabbit R1 devices, was pointed out on Threads by a user, and it looks like the problem was an OpenAI outage. Thursday evening, last week, that was addressed about 45 minutes after it happened. The only remaining issue that, you know, a lot of people have been saying is that it's crazy that you would pay up to $200 for a device that can literally stop working if other AI companies don't keep things running 24/7.
Sure.
So that's a pretty interesting situation to be stuck in, you know, where you're buying a piece of tech that uses another piece of tech, and then if that other piece of tech doesn't work, your piece of tech doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Completely doesn't work. So that's a little bit of an interesting kind of dilemma. And you can't have the AI be inside the device because there's not enough processing power for that, which means your RabbitR1 also has to be connected to the internet. So if you disconnect from the internet or OpenAI goes down, you can't use your device, which isn't really a future-proof solution. And I'd love to see how companies deal with that. And finally, talking about Apple, Krispy Kreme has been announced on their finest hour on the App Store is currently the most popular free iPhone app in the US. That puts it above Google and TikTok. So people use TikTok less than the Krispy Kreme app.
Wow.
And the company's apparently Krispy Kreme is the number 25 on Google Play and number 1 on iOS. Would you have ever thought Krispy Kreme?
Not Krispy Kreme.
Above Facebook? Above?
No, man.
Above flipping
no.
TikTok?
Are you sure?
Krispy Kreme. In the US, it kind of makes sense.
US,
they do have a sweet treat problem.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And an app dedicated to just donuts has surpassed TikTok.
Sure.
In app popularity.
I love donuts, by the way.
I love it, too. But
listen, did you know that Google paid Apple $20 billion back in 2022 for Google to be the default search engine in the Safari browser?
I heard about that.
Didn't we cover that at one stage? Probably
yeah.
2 years ago or so.
That's
but anyway,
crazy.
The deal now between the two tech giants is at the heart of a landmark case in which antitrust enforcers allege Google has illegally monopolized the market for online search and related advertising. And then, if you're wondering about those internet cables under the sea, they've all been fixed except for one. The main one cable still needs to be fixed, and the ETA on that is the 11th of May.
Gee, so that actually happened a long time ago. It took them a long time to fix this
one
issue.
One cable left, and about a week or so, that cable should be fine. But, I mean, the internet has stabilized a lot in recent times, I must say.
I made the mistake of researching some of the dangers for deep sea diving company repairs and stuff like that, and you do not want to venture down that path.
No.
Yeah, there's some terrifying figures and stats about what can go wrong. Very, very hectic.
No, especially not in a little submarine with a PlayStation controller and all that kind of stuff.
So do you know about a company by the name of Mint Mobile?
Mint, company, it's not here in South Africa.
A company called Mint Mobile.
It's an American.
Any Ryan Reynolds fan would know about Mint Mobile because Ryan Reynolds actually originally owned Mint Mobile, which was part, he was a partial owner. So he owned a piece of Mint Mobile. Well, apparently T-Mobile, which is another American company, now owns Mint Mobile. So this marks pretty much the day Ryan Reynolds became one of the most successful entrepreneurs of the Hollywood industry.
Wow.
And, you know, it came from taking a piece of Mint Mobile, ultimately selling Mint Mobile and that piece to T-Mobile. And this acquisition includes Kayana Corporation, the parent company of Mint Mobile, along with the other two companies under its umbrella, the prepaid brand Ultra Mobile and the wholesale wireless provider Plum. Both Mint Mobile and Ultra Mobile customers will get T-Mobile's scam call screening service as part of the merger. And T-Mobile announced its plans to acquire Mint Mobile for up to $1.35 billion last March.
Whoa.
So there you go. Ryan Reynolds, Deadpool, strikes again. Even outside of the movie house, he's still killing it.
Yeah, who says you need to act to make money? Just invest in a freaking mobile network.
So, and another acquisition that I think might be important before we close for the day. Sony wants to buy Paramount. Do you know Paramount?
Pictures.
Paramount Pictures.
Yes.
You might have seen
that
in,
before the movies.
Movies or things
also,
like
yeah.
that. Yes. So, Sony wants to buy Paramount with the help of another private equity firm. And they are, this is Apollo Global Management. And Sony and Apollo Global Management have put together about $26 billion in hopes that they will bait and tempt Paramount to accept the acquisition offer and end up basically absorbing, Sony would end up absorbing Paramount into their umbrella. And that's very interesting because, you know, they're basically leaning on a venture capital business to help fund them to make this acquisition. So they must have some pretty big plans for what they could do with Paramount. And it's always interesting to see Sony doing something like that, especially in the midst of 2024 when they've announced that they're not doing any PlayStation exclusive games, which is a very strange move for Sony. And this might be the reason why they might have their hands tied behind their back, because they're literally making an acquisition of $26 billion, which is no small amount of money. It took Elon Musk like 5 weeks and a holy heck ton of investors and loans to basically put the money together enough to do that acquisition of Twitter. So here we see another acquisition happening, and Paramount could now soon be owned by Sony. How interesting is that?
And then there's something I wanted to talk to you about as well, but then you were gone, is that thing that all of a sudden popped up in WhatsApp, the little AI
I saw that.
You know, I thought the first time, because I didn't read any articles or anything in advance, so at first I thought, oh no, my WhatsApp's been hacked. Because all of a sudden there was a search bar appearing on top, and then later there was this little blue circle. And it turns out it's Ask Meta AI, and it's rolled out all over the Meta services. So Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram.
I saw that, and you know, I was flying or
traveling. Did you also get a fright?
Yeah.
Like, what is this?
I was flying or traveling, and I was getting to my hotel or my plane or whatever. Maybe I was walking around, and I must have been really, really tired. Because that's the thing, when you're flying in the morning, you're probably not sleeping the night before, you really don't miss your flight. So I was like a fifth of the person I always am. And somehow I'd woken up or come back to like the land of the living, and I saw I had this chat with some random AI. And it was obviously me searching for someone's chat, and I was like, what did I do?
And now it's talking to you.
How did I get to this point? Like, who is this guy?
I've been hacked. But you can actually type in there, create an image of a man sitting on a chair in the middle of the ocean. Random stuff like that. And it will do that for you.
I wonder what happens if you say something like, show me a picture of WhatsApp losing the battle to Signal or something like that.
Sorry, can't do it. But also, now before we close, Kane, have you seen it?
What?
Baby reindeer.
No.
Why not?
What is it?
It is a new show, or newish show on Netflix, man. You must see it.
Where do I find it?
It's very good. I sent you the freaking trailer.
Have you watched Fallout on Amazon Prime?
No, I've got
Whoa.
Prime. Is Fallout good? Is it the movie or series?
Whoa, it's a good series. It's actually based off a video game, but it's got nothing to do with video games. It's actually based on post-nuclear warfare.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I watch it and I'm like, okay, I really don't want to find out what nuclear war looks like.
Whoa.
At all.
Okay, that's a good recommendation for the weekend. And then Baby Reindeer, do yourself a favor. It's a mini-series.
Okay.
6 episodes. It's a stalker gone wild. A woman who has a very unhealthy obsession with a guy who works as a bartender and is also a stand-up comedian, or struggling stand-up comedian at night. She gets too attached to him, and then it gets very interesting.
Oh, wow.
But it's not just your average stalker story like You or whatever, because that's so predictable. This one has got a lot of depth, but I would definitely say not for the kids. Keep the kids away in a separate room and switch some animation on for them or whatever, and then watch it, the adults. But very good.
Really?
6 episodes. I think we can expect some big awards also for that show. And the acting especially. And you know what the biggest twist is? And maybe a lot of people don't know this. The guy who plays the lead role in Baby Reindeer, this actually happened to him in real life. He's playing himself.
Whoa.
Plot twist.
Whoa.
He's playing himself. So
that's a very strong recommendation.
That really adds a lot of depth to it. So do yourself a favor and watch Baby Reindeer. Nice to binge watch, because it's just 6 episodes and they're not that long. Nice to binge watch over the weekend for our listeners.
Wow.
Yeah,
I'll definitely take
a look at it. And you too, Kane. And once you're done with all your stuff, you must definitely do that.
I definitely will. And you know, speaking of depth, I did that thing. I went onto Meta chat on WhatsApp and I said, show me a picture of WhatsApp losing to Apple.
What? Did you do it? What does it say?
It's like a boardroom of people and the guy's like showing a green Apple logo. Okay. And there's like seven people sitting behind a table, all with Windows XP running.
What?
You can't make this stuff up,
what
man.
What the flip?
You can't make this stuff up, man. I don't know what.
Oh, my word.
I don't know what it's thinking.
I can see this is AI generated. It looks too fake. But wow, it's actually quite. The quality is insane.
Not bad, eh? For a WhatsApp message. Eh?
Yeah, wow.
Not bad.
AI, it really is all over. It's. I think the way it sneaked into WhatsApp also is just testimony to the fact that AI is creeping in all over and you can't ignore it anymore.
I don't know how I feel about all these guys on like Windows XP. I don't quite know what it's trying to say. And also, instead of it showing Apple, winning against WhatsApp, it showed me a combination of a green Apple logo with the bite out of it. But instead of it saying WhatsApp, it says Wallack.
Oh my word, that's so weird.
Welcome to Meta AI in your WhatsApp. I think we should run a competition to see who can get this thing to give the weirdest response.
I think Ken's going to enjoy this now because he found a new toy. He didn't know he can do that. So guess what he's doing all weekend? I'll wait for the images.
I'll see if Meta AI on WhatsApp can speak to Meta AI on my Ray-Bans.
Ah, yeah, that's a good idea.
It's like dividing by zero.
Yeah.
See what happens. See if I can get them in an argument.
Anyway,
on that note,
that's it for another week's show. Ken, thank you so much and welcome back on dry land.
Thank you very much. Back in the land of sense.
We'll see you again next week. Same time, same place.
Thank you so much.
Cheers.
And to all of our listeners, thank you for listening. See you next week.
Bye.